Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. If you have a Bible with you, we are going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. So we begin a new series for the new year. I'm entitling this series, Memorize John. Not that the challenge is to memorize every word of the Gospel of John, though if that is something you want to do, that is a worthy goal. But the design of this study will be to provide a tool for memorizing the main ideas of each chapter of the Gospel of John. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I got this idea from a podcast that my daughter Kate sent to me. The title of the podcast is Bible Memory Goal. And in one of those episodes, the host of this podcast was interviewing a missionary in Thailand. I wrote in his name so I wouldn't miss it, Dr. Larry Dinkins. And Dr. Dinkins had developed a series of images to help him learn the main ideas of the Gospel of John. And I just love this idea. And so that's what we're going to kind of build these around. What I plan to do each week is we'll talk about the image, what it means, what it represents. We'll talk about an overall outline of the chapter. And then the sermon will be based on some portion of the chapter. I'm not going to try to cover every single verse of John, but we'll pick something out each week out of each chapter to base the sermon on. So this morning we start with John chapter 1. And this is the graphic for John chapter 1. Every one of the graphics incorporates either the number or is as far as, like in this case, you can see clearly the number 1. Or it incorporates the number in terms of how many items are on the screen or in the image. In this case, for John chapter 1, you have the word written across the top in English, and then you have the Greek word theos, which is the Greek word for God, written vertically. So you've got word in English written horizontally. You've got theos, the Greek word for God, written vertically. This is based on one of the verses that we'll look at in our sermon text this morning, the very first verse of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The word that's translated God is this word, theos. And the Word was God. Again, same word, theos. And so the way, you know, I looked at this for the first time months ago, and I've already got a bunch of these images in my brain. And I'll tell you the way that I use them. If I'm thinking about, okay, well, hey, what happened in John chapter 4? I think about the number 4 first. And then I think, wait a minute, what was the graphic that was built around the number 4? And I remember in that case, I'll give you a little preview of what's coming. It's the top of a well. And John 4 is where you have the woman at the well. Okay. In this case, I think about the number 1. And then I remember, oh yeah, that's the one that had word across the top and had theos or God down the middle. Okay. And it can help, it kind of bring to our memory one of the main ideas of that chapter. Does that make sense? I was just thinking this morning, we ought to come up with some place to hang these up in here. So if anybody has an idea of how we can hang these up in a way that doesn't look bad and also doesn't damage anything, I'd love to hear your ideas. But I'd love to hang these up. But anyway, that's the graphic for 1. If you've got the bulletin, on the back side of the bulletin in the handout is a very tiny version of this graphic. To help you in again, memorizing the main ideas of the Gospel of John. Now, before I jump into the sermon text, I want to talk about the outline of this chapter. Because one of the goals here is not just to remember that one verse, but to use that as a jumping off point to remember what else is in this chapter. Okay? And there's a lot in John chapter 1. Okay, and so, but the outline I'm going to have on the screen, but it's also in your handout. There's 51 verses in John chapter 1, so it's a big chapter. But you can really divide it into two. It's all about Jesus, okay? The whole chapter is about Jesus. But you can divide it into two phases of Jesus' existence, okay? There is his pre-incarnate existence, the pre-incarnate Christ. If you're like, Tim, what does pre-incarnate mean? Well, the incarnation of Christ is when he became human, when he became man. And so the first five verses are about his existence before he came to this earth. Okay, you with me? Everybody, I'm losing some of you. You may have to get up and do some calisthenics. You guys are still trying to sleep off the new year. All right? The pre-incarnate Christ before he came to this earth. And within that, you have his relationship to the Father. By the way, these five verses is what the sermon's going to be based on this morning. Okay? And then his relationship to the world. So we'll talk about that more in our sermon. But then the remainder of this chapter, I've summarized as the incarnate Christ. His ministry here on this earth. And you have within that, the miracle. The miracle is that God himself came to this earth in the flesh. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You have within this section, in a couple of places, the mission of the Word. Okay? And I love verse, let me flip over there. I love verse 12. It says, he's talking about how were many who did not receive the Christ, who did not accept him. But then in verse 12, it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What a powerful phrase. He gave the right to become children of God. What a way to describe the gift that we can receive through Jesus Christ. So within this section, you have a description of the mission of Jesus. And then also in here, you have a number of men who surrounded Jesus, okay? Starting with John the Baptist, who has the most written about him in this chapter. John the Baptist, who was not just a cousin of Jesus, but was the forerunner of Jesus. And you have a lot written in this chapter about his ministry in paving the way for the ministry of Jesus. You have the calling of the first disciples, starting with Andrew and John, then Peter, then Philip, and then finally Nathanael, who most believe was Bartholomew, because the disciple, the apostle Bartholomew, is not mentioned by name in John's gospel. Many believe that Nathanael was Bartholomew. So that's the outline, okay? Everybody with me? Everybody with me? I'm up here. Everybody, focus. They're taking care of themselves. They're good. But they don't need everybody. Here we go, right up here. All right? Okay. All right. So, I want to ask some questions, though. We're going to focus the sermon on the first five verses, okay? All right? We're going to focus the sermon on the first five verses. So, I want to ask some questions. Actually, let's read it real fast. And then I want to go through these first five verses with some questions. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Okay, my first question is, because John's gospel begins in a very unique way. So my first question is, who is the Word? Now, I would imagine if I went to each one of you individually, you'd give me the answer, because you guys have heard this most of your life. Okay? But let's just say it anyway. Who is the Word? Well, John answers that question. If you go down to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, that already gives us some insight into who the Word is. But he goes on, he says, we have seen his glory, glory as, and here's a description of the Word, the only Son from the Father. Now, Who used that same phrase to describe himself later in John? Jesus did. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only son. Same Greek words there. Monogenes, unique, one of a kind son. Used in both places. Okay? Then if you keep going down to verse 17, it says the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through. Now we have a name for the one who is the Word. Jesus Christ. He's the Word. Okay? Now, from there, I have another question. Why does John call him the Word? Jesus is not referred to the Word in any of the other Gospels. He's not referred to the Word in any of the letters. So why does John call him the Word? Now, the Word in Greek is the Greek word logos. You've probably heard that word before. It's the Greek word logos, okay? Now, logos, if you look up logos in a Greek dictionary, Koine Greek dictionary, most of them will have like 10 different definitions for logos, okay? But all of those definitions really revolve around the concept of revelation or communication, okay? That something is being revealed or something is being communicated. Verbally communicated, written communication, okay? That's what this word means. It's the communication, the revelation. So again, why would John choose to describe Jesus as the revelation, the communication? Why would he describe the Messiah, the Christ, in that way? Well, I believe it's because Jesus is the full revelation and communication of the deity of God. Okay? Go with me down to verse 18. Go down to verse 18. Just after he had said, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, he says this in verse 18. No one has ever seen God, the only God. You got that? He says, no one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So what does John say about the Word, about Jesus Christ? He is the one who has made the Father known. So Jesus, again, is the revelation and the communication of the deity of God to this world. When we go through John, I want you to notice how many times Jesus equates knowing him to knowing the Father. Jesus will say he is the only way to the Father. To know the Father, you have to know him. Or many times he will say to the Pharisees the opposite. You don't know the Father because what? You don't know me. So Jesus is that communication of the deity of the Father to the world. Okay? All right, final question. What are his characteristics, meaning the characteristics of the Word? And this is where we've got some fill in the blanks. Pardon me. We've got some fill in the blanks. And the first part I want to look at, the first characteristic, comes in the beginning of verse 1. Okay? There's three things said about the Word in verse 1. Okay? There's three things, and those are our three blanks, okay? The first one is, he says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, I don't have this as a question on your handout or on the slide, but with the phrase in the beginning, where is John trying to take the reader? What other passage of Scripture is John trying to take the reader to? Genesis 1:1, right? How does Genesis 1:1 start? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? We know that. We learned that early in Sunday school, right? Genesis 1:1. So John, using that same language, in the beginning, is trying to take the reader back to creation, right? But he gives another aspect, not just that God created the heavens and the earth, but that the Logos, the Word, was in the beginning. Wait a minute. Jesus, who was born of Mary? Jesus, you're telling me that Jesus was there when the world was created by God? He was there when the heavens and the earth came into existence? That's what John is telling us. And guess what? John echoes the same thing in the letter that he wrote we call 1 John. Because John begins that letter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John says the word was in the beginning. He was there in the beginning in creation. Excuse me. And not only that, go to verse 2. He says again, he was in the beginning. And then in verse 3 he says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You guys are going to have to bear with me. I got to pop a cough drop in. I hate preaching with a cough drop in, but if I don't, I'm going to start hacking up a lung. And no one wants to see that. I may sound like I'm tap dancing with this thing in my mouth, but hopefully that'll keep me from coughing. Okay. Now, so he says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. By the way, I just remembered. I didn't tell you what the word was. The word is dawn. And I use that word as in the dawn of the heavens and the earth. Okay? That Jesus was there from the dawn of what we consider time. Right? He was there from the beginning. But he wasn't just there. John says all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, I think John is beginning this letter telling us two really, really important things with that one phrase, okay, and with that further description. Number one, that Jesus, the Word, the Christ, the Messiah, has an eternal existence. You with me? He has an eternal existence. Jesus is going to say that when he's in chapter 8, when he's talking with the Pharisees, and they are going back and forth about Abraham. And Jesus kind of slyly talks about how he knows Abraham. And they go, well, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? And what does Jesus say? Before Abraham was what? I am. What does that mean? He's saying, I'm eternal. No one created me. I am eternal. So John gives us that first insight into his nature, that he has an eternal existence. But the second thing is that not just that he's eternal, but everything that was created through him. And there was not anything made that was not through him. So not only is he eternal, he's also infinitely powerful. And we see that throughout John. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I think the pinnacle of that when he tells Lazarus to come out of the grave in John 11. What more demonstration of power than to reverse death? Tells Lazarus to come out of the grave. So again, he has this eternal existence, and he's infinitely powerful. Okay? In the beginning was the Word. Now, here comes the next characteristic. The Word was with God. Now, we have the Logos was with Theos. Okay? You with me? The Word was with God. Okay? Now, we could say a lot of things about this. I mean, a lot. And for the sake of time, I'm going to focus on one aspect of it. I think this not only gives us insight into the characteristic of the Word, but also one of the key characteristics of the entire Godhead. Okay? Because in that one phrase, you see that within the Godhead, there are, and here's your word, distinct personalities. The word theos there, God, is a title, but clearly there is meant to refer to the Father. So you've got there described in that one phrase that the Son, the Logos, again, later John will describe him as the only Son of the living God, Jesus the Christ, the Word was with the Father. And so you see there, again, not just the nature of the Son, but the nature of the entire Godhead, that there are unique personalities within the Godhead. There are unique personalities. We will see that throughout the Gospel of John, where we will see the Son, the Father, the Spirit. And there are occasions in Scripture where we can even see all three at once. Not necessarily in the Gospel of John, but in the Synoptic Gospels, in the baptism of Jesus, what do you see? You see the Son coming out of the water from baptism, the Spirit descending like a dove, and the Father speaking. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, he talks about how the Son is at the right hand of the Father, having received from the Father the Holy Spirit. So you have the three personalities. Do I understand exactly how that works? No. But I'm okay with the idea that God is beyond my comprehension. I understand that He has three distinct personalities that function in three different ways. Okay, you with me on that? He has three personalities. But look at the next phrase. Look at the next phrase. Not only was the Word with God, but then he says this, the Word was God. So it doesn't just give us insight that the Godhead has unique personalities, but that each one of those personalities is what? Is God. And so the word, the final word that we have there is the word divine. It's divine. And so the Son was not only with the Father, but the Son himself is fully God. That's another one of those characteristics of the Godhead. There's three unique personalities, but guess what? Each one is fully God. And you learn throughout the rest of Scripture, but God is only one. Again, how does all that work? I don't know. I understand the characteristics without understanding how it's possible. I know Jeff has done lessons, I've done lessons, how there is no metaphor in human life that can explain or analogy that can explain how that works. Everyone that I have ever seen is fatally flawed in trying to explain how you have the three in the one. I don't know. But John begins his gospel telling us that the Son is fully God. Okay, now that takes on added significance though when you get down to verse 14. Because what does verse 14 tell us about the Son, the Word? He did what? He became flesh and dwelt among us. John is beginning his gospel with the end, right? He's beginning his gospel with the end in mind. That God fulfilled his plan to save mankind by doing what? Coming in the flesh himself. He came in the flesh himself. You say, but it wasn't the Father, it was the Son. But is not the Son fully God? Yes. So the Son, God himself, came in the flesh to fulfill God's plan to save mankind. Well, how do we know that was his mission? Go look at verses 4 and 5. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Later, John will write in his letter, 1 John, God is what? Light, and in him is no darkness at all. So here, John is telling us that God himself came in the flesh so that we can have light, that we can be light and we can have a relationship with the one who can't be around darkness. And what do we receive from that? We receive life. That's how God solved our problem, the sin problem, by coming himself in the flesh. By coming himself in the flesh. And what a powerful way to start off the story of the ministry of Jesus. That Jesus is eternal. That Jesus is all-powerful. That Jesus is one member of the Godhead. And he's also fully God, who was willing to come in the flesh to die for us. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, a powerful way to start off this gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God sent him to save us from our sins, to be our light, so that we can be light, so that we can have a relationship with the one who is only light. And so from that, we can have eternal life. And as he will say later in the chapter, so that we can be seen as children of God. We have the right to be called children of God. If you're here this morning and you've never submitted to what Christ is offering, why not start that today? If there's anything else we can do for you, please come while Charlie leads us in our invitation song.